Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, as we reported yesterday, bombs in Baghdad killed scores on the 10th anniversary of the war in Iraq. In Afghanistan recently, President Karzai has charged that the U.S. is flirting with the Taliban and has accused U.S. troops of human rights abuses. President Obama arrived in Israel today to patch up a frosty relationship with the prime minister there. We'll have more on that later. It just strikes us that when it comes to its closest allies, the U.S. could use a relationship counselor. In fact, our next guest says the U.S. should get a divorce from Pakistan. Hussein Haqqani is the former Pakistani ambassador to the U.S. He had a sort of breakup of his own with the country, forced to resign amid charges of disloyalty. We'll hear about that. But he's since resumed his post as professor and director of the Center for International Studies here at Boston University. And we are happy to welcome you back to our studios. Welcome.
Pleasure. Being here.
A divorce? That sounds awfully strong, especially since Pakistan announced today it's going to hold historic elections in May. The government that's stepping down, the first to fill out its term. And so this will be the first fully democratic transfer of power in this very young country's history, 65-year-old country. In other words, it's not a military coup, it's an election. So it sounds as if it would be the better time than ever for Pakistan and the U.S. to be, you know, in a relationship.
Well, first of all, the term divorce is a headline writer's term, not mine.
Ah, okay.
What I'm talking about is that Pakistan and the United States do not have, as of now, the conditions that are required for them to be allies. And I've written a detailed piece about it in Foreign Affairs magazine, in which basically what I've explained is that since the beginning, the expectations of the two from one another have been very different. Pakistan's primary enemy has been India. That's the perception there. America was never India's enemy. America was concerned about communism. It was concerned about Soviets being in Afghanistan, and now it's concerned about terrorism. And Pakistan has never taken any of those as the primary enemy. So an alliance is what I'm questioning. I'm saying that Pakistan and the United States need to have a non-allied relationship.
Because an ally, let's explain, because being someone's ally means through thick and thin, means no matter what.
No, it doesn't always mean that. Well, for example, Israel and the United States are allies, but they question each other sometimes. Look, allies can question each other. They can have differences of opinion. They can disagree. They can sometimes refuse to do what the other suggests. That's not an issue. And Pakistan has that right in relation to the United States, and the U.S. has that right in relation to all its allies. The primary basis of an alliance is either a shared threat or a shared general purpose. Now, Pakistan has a mixed record. It's a very positive development. Pakistan is moving forward in the direction of democracy. It's the second election consecutive in which hopefully there will be a peaceful democratic transfer of power. And I'm a strong supporter of Pakistani democracy. I'm a strong supporter of the Pakistani democratic political parties and their right to actually make all major policy decisions. But at the same time, the foreign policy of Pakistan is by and large controlled by what is euphemistically called the establishment, the Pakistani military and the Pakistani intelligence service. And in the last 5 years, three and a half of which I served as Pakistan's ambassador to the U.S., I have seen how the Pakistani military and the Pakistani intelligence service is unwilling to change its view on international relations, and it does not allow the civilians to assert themselves. So that's one part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that 74% of Americans, after the discovery of bin Laden in Pakistan, 74% of Americans do not view Pakistan as a friend or an ally. What? 92% of Pakistanis do not look upon the U.S. With a favorable light. In a circumstance like this, by insisting that we are allies, what we are trying to do is we are just living a lie.
Well, I guess that's what I meant when I said that. It's sort of like, you know, when you think of an ally, you think of someone, as you said, shared enemy, shared purpose, and it's not. Yes, you may disagree, but it's understood that you're together. Whereas, as you have laid out, Pakistan and the U.S. may have been cross purposes at the beginning of the relationship, and they still are. I want to just take a second and ask our listeners, you know, largely American listeners, what they think of Pakistan. And I'm sure they will think of the country that harbored militants that killed Daniel Pearl. We're reminded of that because Pakistani officials arrested someone in that case just this week. Or they might think of the country that was home to Osama bin Laden or killed or shot a young girl for wanting education, and they might think, why are we aligned with that? Whereas you say many Pakistanis think what? I mean, what's some of the thinking coming from Pakistan?
Well, unfortunately, and I'm not one of those, I'm part of the minority there, a lot of Pakistanis believe in conspiracy theories. They believe that America wants Israel and India to dominate the Muslim world. They believe that the United States wants to take away Pakistan's nuclear weapons. You were talking about people living in the fear of having their guns taken away in the United States. Well, guess what? People in Pakistan, there's no debate in Pakistan about the rationality of nuclear weapons and how much Pakistan needs and does it need them. And so there's an insecurity about that. Then on the question of terrorism, many people believe in conspiracy theories. There are people, if you go on the internet, you will find many Pakistanis who've argued that Osama bin Laden was not there, that the Americans just came to violate Pakistan's sovereignty and pretended that they had found Osama bin Laden and killed him. And that's a bit like, you know, people who believe that man did not land on moon. Mm. So in an environment like that, American engagement with Pakistan should be about educating Pakistanis. It should be about changing Pakistani perceptions. It should be about economic relations. It should not be a military alliance which actually reinforces these conspiracy theories.
Well, because you left one thing out of your list, Hussein Haqqani. Pakistanis might be thinking, what kind of a friend is this who is flying unmanned drones into our villages and often killing our civilians? You know, this could be another feeling from the Pakistani side of, you know, questioning, why are we allies with the United States?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to pick up on the other side with Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador to Pakistan. If not a formal ally from Pakistan to the U.S., pardon me, former Pakistan ambassador to the U.S., if not allies, then what? Let's flesh it out a little more on the other side of a break in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our look at the future of the U.S.-Pakistani alliance. We're speaking with Pakistan's former ambassador to the U.S., Hussein Haqqani, who's also a professor at Boston University. And, Mr. Ambassador, you were saying that maybe not a divorce is the right word, but sort of an amicable separation is something that you think that Pakistan and the U.S. should consider, given that they never really, they've always been at cross purposes in their alliance. Tell us more about, first of all, what this means. I mean, you're a diplomat, so you understand more what an alliance means formally. But what would you picture the relationship with Pakistan, especially as, you know, we look in the region, we see Iraq vulnerable, we see Afghanistan, harsh words from Karzai, you know, we see Iran right on the border with Pakistan. One would think that the U.S. would want to hold on with claws to Pakistan. So how do you see a relationship going forward?
Well, first of all, I think it's unrealistic to expect somebody to be held on to with claws. I think it's an erroneous part of American foreign policy. America needs to look at the world differently and in a more nuanced manner. It's not that every nation is either an enemy or an ally. There are countries that are in the middle. They are not your enemies, and Pakistan is not America's enemy right now and shouldn't be made into one. But at the same time, it's not a willing ally. And therefore, instead of living in a world of unreality, let's come to reality. And the reality is that Pakistan needs to have an open debate within itself about what kind of a country does it want to be. Does it want to be a future South Korea, or does it want to be a future Iran? So that debate in Pakistan will take place only when American crutches are removed and Pakistan's leaders can actually argue with their own people. Right now what happens is that America continues to assist Pakistan while arguing with it constantly. And at the same time, doing things secretly. You mentioned the drones. The drones are part of something that is secret. Way back in the 60s, Pakistan had a base, an American base for flying U-2 planes over the Soviet Union. The people of Pakistan never knew about it. All I'm asking for is a more open relationship in which issues are discussed, debated. Reach out to the people of Pakistan. America should continue with economic relations if there is room for its economic assistance. Pakistan, look, 42% of Pakistan's school-going age children don't go to school. the highest number of unenrolled children in South Asia. We have a problem. Polio is breaking out again because extremists in Pakistan do not allow children to receive or infants to receive polio vaccine. Things like that are the real issues in Pakistan.
Well, but you address a concern that a lot of Americans have. They say they look at $40+ billion over decades and U.S. aid going from the U.S. to Pakistan, and they say that's where they want to see more results.
But
with all respect,
Americans always look at the big figure and never look at the details. The $40 billion includes huge amounts of assistance to Pakistan's military and not enough allocation for Pakistan's economic development.
In fact, you quote a Pakistan president years ago who said they saw the friendship with the U.S. as a way to get weapons to fight India, and that the U.S. knew that.
That's my point. My point is that throughout the Reagan administration, American intelligence reports said Pakistan is developing nuclear weapons. The presidents of America continued to certify, no, Pakistan is not doing that, so that Congress could continue with assistance to Pakistan. What did it bring? It brought a nuclear program that was successful for Pakistan, but at the same time an unhappy Pakistani population because they saw America as trying to obstruct something that Pakistanis considered to be a national purpose. And from the American point of view, yes, you beat the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, but you left a mess in both Afghanistan and Pakistan. You mentioned President Karzai. President Karzai is also not calling for a break with America. Let's be fair. What he's calling for is more respect in the relationship, a little more fairness in the relationship, instead of just boots on the ground and military approach, a relationship involving the people. And that's what I'm calling for Pakistan. I'm saying stop thinking of Pakistan just as a playground for American military strategies for South and Central Asia or the Middle East. Let Pakistan be treated as a nation whom you need to win over. If the people of Pakistan are not on your side, what kind of an ally do you want?
Let's just quickly address, because it's going to lead us to something else, your relationship with Pakistan. As we said, you left the ambassadorship after a memo surfaced. It made its way to the U.S. asking for help in averting a military coup and promising in response if the U.S. helped, there would be more cooperation on capturing terrorism suspects. You were accused of writing the memo. You said you didn't. I want to move on from that to say that what the memo illustrated, though, to many Americans was, well, wait a minute, what do you mean? It seemed to imply that the military was holding up the capturing of terrorism suspects. Are you saying that if the U.S. butts out a little bit, Pakistanis will address that issue if that's true, that they will take care of that themselves?
Look, what happened with the memo? Memo was basically a reflection of how an artificially created document having nothing to do with the government can create Pakistani fears about America. Pakistanis may or may not take care of a certain issue, but it is for Pakistanis to take care of. Mm-hmm. So America trying to work around the problem is not going to help. The people of Pakistan, and there are some people like myself, would be articulating a different point of view, but this is a Pakistani debate.
Yeah.
And Pakistan is suffering from terrorism. Pakistan needs to fight terrorism for its own sake, not for the sake of America. So all these artificial arrangements that America makes with Pakistan's military and intelligence services, at the same time, allow these services to play a double game. And there is no point in having a double game. Pakistan and the United States should have a friendship before they have an alliance.
I think we get it. Hussein Haqqani, former Pakistani ambassador to the U.S., professor and director of the Center for International Studies here at Boston University, suggesting, sounds like, that the U.S. back off a bit and Pakistan do the same in their relationship and maybe have a real one. You're nodding yes, instead of the kabuki dance they're now doing. Mr. Ambassador, Professor, thanks so much as always.
Pleasure being here as always.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. I'll be back with much more here and now.